This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm welcome from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Have you ever asked God for a sign that He is with you? Well, as human beings, we often look for concrete proof of our beliefs, but is that wrong? Well, please stay with us today as we talk about the correct order of building faith in the heart of an unbeliever.
What does it take to bring an unbeliever to Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We trust that you will stay tuned to the program. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it take to cause an unbeliever to come to faith in Christ? That is the question that the church must ask all the time, and it must have its answers, which are found in Holy Scriptures. And so today, Heavenly Father, we pray that your word may be opened and that we may hear you telling us how one comes into that living relationship and what happens after his eyes have been opened. Lord Jesus, speak to us through your word. Amen. Friends in Christ, what does it take to bring an unbeliever to Jesus Christ? That's a question that has been asked many times through the history of the Christian faith and is still being asked today. I believe that Jesus gives us some help on that question that will really make us understand better how we come to know Him. And what happens then? Let me read for you the text that is found in the 6th chapter of John, beginning with verse 24. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there with them anymore, they got into the boats and went across the sea to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." The background of this text is that Jesus had just fed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish, a tremendous miracle. And when they were all satisfied, the crowd began to rush not only around him, but around the disciples. So Jesus said to the disciples, "Go down to the boats and get in, and I will meet you there soon." So the disciples were obedient, went down and got into the boats to sail across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. And during the course of their sailing, there came up a tremendous storm. The disciples were afraid when suddenly here came Jesus walking on the water. And then Jesus said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." You know, I'd like to stop right here, just interject a question. Do you believe that Jesus came walking on the water to meet his disciples there? I do. But you know, I have interesting conversations with people when that subject comes up, his walking on the water. And some of them who I would have certainly believed because they are Christian people said, I don't quite believe that. There must be another interpretation to that. Why? When you see all that God has done, what Jesus has done on this earth, why then could he not also walk on water? Just think of the intricacies of the heart, how that was put together, what our research scientists are finding out about the heart. And I tell you, my friend, that Savior can do anything. But we'll not stop here at this secondary topic today. The people ask, "Please, why did you come over here?" And then they gathered around him again with that same question. "What miraculous signs will you give us that we may see it and believe you?" And Jesus answered in verse 29. And here I think is his real help. "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." You have done nothing until you believe. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And when you believe in him, you'll begin to see his miraculous powers. The same statement is made today. If only we could have one great miracle before us, then I think I could believe in him. But to hear this preached from the Bible is not enough for me. I have got to be shown. First show me, and then I will believe. That question is asked many times when people are concerned about some very, very important things for which they do not have the answer. I think especially of the health problems. A man says to me, and I understood his feelings. No, I guess I didn't, because I've never walked through it. But I could see there was great anxiety there. And I had come into the hospital room, and there was his daughter, the mother of two little children, dying. And he took me out in the corridor. He said, you know, Pastor, I know you're going to read a passage of Scripture, and I want you to do that. And I know you're going to pray, and I sure want you to do that. But if Jesus would only give me the sign that my daughter is going to live, then I would believe. I can assure you of that. But that's not the way that Jesus does it. He has never said that he was going to heal the sick like that. He has healed the sick. He heals them today. In one sense of the word, all healing is a gift from him. But the big thing is, friend, follow the order. First, trust him, and then see what he's doing. That's the order. Not first get the great miracle, and then I'll believe. And that's quite a difference in that. But people from the very beginning of the Christian faith have sought to find something more tangible than the words of the gospel spoken and preached throughout the years. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, the Jews demand miraculous signs and the Greek looks for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, trust Christ first, and then see this world open up, and you will find the big things, the order. In the book of Acts, we have the story of Paul visiting Philippi. And pretty soon, the leaders in that town got disgusted with Paul and had him and his co-worker Silas thrown into jail. One night, as they were sitting in the jail cell, waiting to be killed, supposedly, there was a terrible earthquake, and the people were afraid. The doors of the prison flew open, and the Philippian jailer thought, now here is the end of my being, not only the jailers of the Philippian jail, but of being a citizen of the planet Earth. And finally, he was about ready to commit suicide. You can read it in Acts 16. And then he said to the apostles and Silas, you've been singing these hymns. What is it that I must do to be saved? And the apostle Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Life will be entirely different for you. But first believe. That's the order. And then all of these things shall come your way. The old Bishop Ryle, whom I quote quite often because I love his commentary, he lived hundreds of years ago. He was the bishop in England, writes this. Humans say, show us some miraculous signs, and then we will believe. But I say, this is the common language of many unconverted hearts. In other words, when you're saying, first show me a miracle, and then I'll believe, it's so pious. But that is a statement of an unconverted heart, according to the bishop. You want to see first and then believe. But this is inverting God's order. Faith must come first, and sight will follow. I'd like to share with you one of my experiences. I have a wife whom I have often referred to, who had a stroke 17 years ago, has not been able to work on a walk unassistedly for all of those years. And so often the time can get long, I'm sure, though she never complains, and I grow somewhat depressed. I have done what I think is humanly possible, and if there's something else, I'm glad to do that. We have consulted with some of the great physicians at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and they don't have much to say. They can tell you partially how not to have another stroke, but the damage that has been done on this one. I have consulted with some of the great physicians at Iowa City School of Medicine. They say the same thing. I have been with some of the great physicians in our own community who I think will measure up to any of them, including our own personal physician. We could ask for nothing better. But they finally have to say, there's only so much that humans can do. And then we have to turn it over to God. And that is so true. And coming from the sincerity of their heart, I believe it with all my soul. But you just wonder, isn't there something else? Can I get that miraculous sign somewhere else? I got it. Now remember, I am a committed Christian. And the next Sunday, I went to church. And one of my pastors stood in that pulpit. And he said words to this effect. After we have tried everything to solve our problems, and there is nothing else, just remember, there stands Jesus. Does that mean that he will necessarily give us all of our desires and work these miracles? Not at all. Nor did the pastor ever intimate that. But there stands Jesus. And I don't want to be emotional, but as I sat in that pew, it was just as if the Holy Spirit took the pastor's words, which came from the Scriptures, and lifted me up and said, look, I have said, cast all of your cares upon me. I care for you. I haven't left you. I'm right here. And I left the church that day feeling elated for the words delivered to me by a faithful pastor who you could feel was aching with his people too, but knowing that that is truth. J. Jesus stands here. That week, my wife had to enter the hospital for some things to be done to her body. And here came our second pastor. And he opened up the book of Psalms and read us a psalm, which basically says that trust in the Lord, for all things are in his hand. Therefore I will not fear. And then he prayed from the bottom of his heart that we may continue to have that peace. Now that pastor also knew that we had the peace of God which passes all understanding. He knew that many, many, many years ago, I had come to that decision that Christ was mine and so had my wife. We were assured that we were going to heaven, and we still are. And we know that every minute that we spend on this earth will be with him. But you know what? No matter how much you have lived with it, and this has been not only my faith, but my life's work, and I have been on the other side of the hospital bed so many times, I needed to be reminded. Faith first, and then the earth becomes new. And when I look at my wife and see all the things she can do, then I know all is well. People, it's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous opportunity to have a Savior like this. But first, we have to be in that living relationship with him. And then our eyes are open. Can I believe that Jesus walked on the water? Why not? Can I believe that these promises are true when he says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Why not? Why not? He is the Savior, the Creator of it all. But please remember the order. We started by saying, what does it take to bring an unbeliever to Christ? It takes the Word. Jesus speaking through the Word. The Word that comes from the pulpit. The Word that you read in your home and you share with others. And you realize, yeah, I have one who stands there forever. And when that eyelid closes, we will be at home with him. First things first, Christ, and then all the other things. Amen.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, for some who hear this word today, it'll mean a spiritual awakening. For it is not until Jesus lives within our hearts, not just our heads, but our hearts, that you have told us so specifically, first me, and then look at what you will see. O God in heaven, we pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the grace and the strength, for this is His work alone, that we may see this world through the eyes of Jesus. Thank you for giving us these words, and hear us as we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message today has inspired you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in all matters of life and health. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by our speakers, as well as other interesting information concerning this ministry. To receive a special mailing, please simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Be sure to check our website, christiancrusaders.org, where you will find an audio and printed copy of our sermon, as well as many other inspirational items. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service today was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.